to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
It's a great pleasure to say we're back, joined by Baroness Carolyn Cox, one of the most remarkable and extraordinarily courageous people I have ever met. She is these days a member of the British House of Lords, but she has really become an international, well, rock star, I guess I'd say, in terms of her commitment to freedom and people who are desperate to enjoy it and who are at risk of either never experiencing it or losing it. And that would unfortunately include some of her own people in the United Kingdom now being relentlessly attacked by jihadists, Sharia supremacists, if you will. To talk about all of that and what it in fact, unfortunately, probably portends for us, if we're not careful, I'm very pleased to welcome back Baroness Carolyn Cox. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to join us, ma'am.
Well, thank you very much, Frank, and thank you for your very kind words. I don't recognize myself in all your compliments, but it's a privilege to be speaking with you about things we both care about.
Indeed. Let's talk quickly about the attacks. There have been at least five of these jihadist incidents in the United Kingdom just in this year, including one that could have gone frightfully badly. Fortunately, it was just one that injured a bunch of people. But what is going on, Baroness, and what does it suggest about the larger state of affairs in your country?
Thank you. Yes, indeed, there have been five terrorist attacks this year. I was actually in Parliament when the one was carried out on Westminster Bridge and on the precincts of Parliament itself, when someone ran their vehicle mowing down pedestrians on the bridge, and then a policeman was actually stabbed to death at the precincts of the gates to the House of Commons. And we were knocked down there for several hours because there was fear that there could be further attacks. Not on that occasion, but there have been attacks since then. A Manchester attack was a horrendous one in which children died. And then the most recent one in Parsons Green Station, that's on our metro network. And very fortunately, the particular device did not go off as intended. It partially went off, and there was a kind of ball of fire that did injure a number of people, I think about 30 with burns. But if the whole thing had gone off, I understand there were nails inside it and other pieces of devices intended to cause maximum harm, injury, and indeed death. And I think if the whole thing had gone off, it could have been a number of serious number of deaths as well as horrendous injuries.
What does this portend for the United Kingdom? Is there evidence that this is sort of a growing insurgency and is yet to be understood as such and responded to? And if so, what does the future hold for Britain as you see it, Baroness Cox?
Well, I think we can see it as part of a much larger strategy. So-called Islamic State claims responsibility, or it may say credit, for these horrific activities. If that is the case, then clearly it is part of a much more global movement in which many of the people who have been apprehended or who have committed suicide in undertaking these horrific attacks have done so for ideological reasons. I think sometimes they're quite explicitly Islamist in their ideology and in their justifications for what they're doing. And clearly that is a much larger picture. What's currently going on in Britain at the moment is an intensive search by the police for people who may be associated with the Parsons Green attack, suggesting it wasn't just a lone wolf attack, but maybe part of a bigger network. And indeed, some arrests have been taking place, suggesting that it was part of a bigger network.
And that's really what I wanted to get at, as I know you have been warning of in Parliament for years, is the problem that the infrastructure that has been put into place and the use that is being made of it, sometimes I think we mistake it for innocent simply because it's kind of pre-violent, but it is leading, is it not, to the kinds of violence that you've been seeing. And to the extent that there's what the Muslim Brotherhood calls a sort of civilization jihad as a precursor to the more horrific kind that you've been experiencing of late, is the government of Britain at this point properly gripped with what's the sort of precursor and taking steps to correct that?
Certainly, I think that there is beginning to be an awareness that this is part of that much bigger picture. We have witnessed that bigger picture in countries such as Nigeria and Sudan. I've been there when, in places where these horrendous terrorist activities and movements are taking place. It's been reported this morning that Theresa May, our Prime Minister, is showing some concern for the use of social media to inculcate ideological commitment in ordinary citizens. I think it's been suggested in the past that people in the UK have actually been converted to this very radical, fundamentalist, extremist Islamism through the social media.
But could I just stop you on this point? Because I what I'm struck by, and it's not unique to Britain. I hear it in European capitals and, for that matter, here in the United States as well. Much talk about this proselytizing and inculcating of Sharia supremacism, if you will, through the internet, but there's scarcely ever a conversation about what's being done in these mosques that have been built by the Muslim Brotherhood with Saudi funding and perhaps the Turks or the Qataris or otherwise. Are we missing that element? And if so, what are the consequences?
Well, I think there is a very serious issue here. When we were in Syria, and we spoke to the Grand Mufti, he was very concerned that when he'd visited Britain, the mosques which he attended, he said the imams were very radicalized, probably Wahhabi, that's a kind of Saudi Arabian ideology, and maybe funded by Saudi Arabia. And he said, it was his suggestion, that you ought to have a training center for imams who would bring up imams with values compatible with democracy and freedom. You know, people abroad can see what's happening in this country and are deeply worried about it. And I think, you know, we need to raise awareness and deal with this seriously.
Well, and lastly, let me just ask you, because this is really the crux of the matter as far as I'm concerned. We're watching one of the countries arguably that we are closest to in the world experiencing what is clearly intended for us as well. If you had a moment with President Trump and had an opportunity to talk with him about the insights from your collective experience now, what would your recommendation be to him to prevent a similar kind of horror from being afflicted against the United States?
Well, I think we have to be highly security conscious. We have to make sure we're not in any kind of appeasement mode, which would be preventing the necessary actions being taken. We're afraid of upsetting cultural sensitivities. It's been one of the problems in this country that there has, in the past, certainly been cases where, in the area which I work in particularly, which is the problem of Muslim women suffering from the application of Sharia law in ways which deprive them of a decent life, you know, the asymmetrical divorce, a man should divorce you three times, the condoning of domestic violence and domestic abuse, and sometimes when they've gone to the police have not come to support them because they're afraid of upsetting cultural sensitivities. We've got to realize we've got a political, cultural, and spiritual heritage we have to pass on undiminished to the next generation. And we have to protect that, whatever it takes in terms of our own values, respecting, obviously, human rights, but not appeasing and allowing these things to happen which are incompatible with our political, cultural, and spiritual heritage. And so I've got a lot of support from Muslim women, you know, on this. So we have to work with those Muslims who are willing to speak up and speak out. And from my point of view, Muslim women who are suffering, some of them are some of the bravest in speaking out.
Indeed. Well, right up there with you, Baroness Carolyn Cox of the United Kingdom, thank you so much for your time, your inspiring and courageous leadership. I have both sides of the pond. We hope to talk with you again very soon. I hope to talk with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.